Good. If you are missing your put on the whole armor of God pin, if you're given one of these by Brother Williams, and you're missing one, can I give this to you, Brother Miss Caitlin? Can you take this to Mr. Williams for me? And he'll have that. One of your people say they lost theirs and they need another one. You know what to give them. Take your Bibles this morning, turn to Judges chapter 3. Judges chapter 3. We have been looking at the Judges on Sunday morning. Not on? Really? It says it's on. It's not going to be on. You're not getting anything. It's just the way it's going to be. Give me the center mic, and I'm going to wander a little bit this morning. We'll figure it out later on. I'll shout loud enough so you can hear me. Judges chapter 3, we've looked at Othniel and Ehud, and this week we're going to look at Shamgar. Shamgar is given a great portion of Scripture. We're in Judges chapter 3, verse 31, and after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. And that's it. And so I said to Mrs. Bishop, we're going to look at Shamgar this morning, and God has given him one verse. And Mrs. Bishop said, so it's going to be a short message, right? And I went, no. And she said, how did I know that you were not going to say that? There's a lot in that one little verse that God tells us. We're going to share that with you this morning. And also show you some things that God does that is just neat, that I hope will encourage you. Again, looking at that one verse, after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. And he also delivered Israel. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts this morning and encourage us that you have a plan and that you're not looking for necessarily great people. You're looking for ordinary people that are just willing to serve you. And I think that qualifies us here. We are not extraordinary people, extraordinary minds. We are committed people. We love you, love your word. And I pray that you would help us to be encouraged to know that you're looking for someone to use who is just going to be busy for you. And thank you for the example of Shamgar. May it inspire us this morning. That person that does not know you as their Savior, may today be that day. And we'll thank you for what you do today as we pray to you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I like the fact that God gives us a man, doesn't tell us, well, was he famous? I don't know. Was he president of the United States? I don't think so. President of the United States didn't exist then. Was he king of a great country? No. Who was he? Well, he had an ox goad, so I'm going to guess he was a farmer. And he's just out in his field, and God used a farmer with a farming tool to give deliverance to his people. You say, well, I'm just a normal church member, and I don't speak well, I don't have great tools. God's just looking for normal people who are willing and who are faithful to him. Throughout the pages of Scripture, we have a number of guys that are just mentioned one time. And God uses normal people. Adino in 2 Samuel 23, verse 8, one of David's mighty men. Bible tells us that he killed 800 men with a spear. In 2 Samuel 23, we also have Eleazar, again, one of David's mighty men. In the day of battle, he fought so long that at the end of the day, his hand would not release from his sword. And he just couldn't get his hand to release because he had gripped that muscle and that muscle. So he had to literally pry his fingers off of that to get his, what was he? Just in that one verse, God tells us, here's a guy that was faithful, and he's just going to hold on and not let go. In 2 Samuel 23, again, another one of David's mighty men was Shammah. He stood alone in a field of peas and fought to victory. He just fought where he was. In 1 Kings 17, we have the widow of Zarephath. There's a great famine in the land. The prophet goes up to her and says, hey, feed me. And she just trusted God. And to this day, we talk about the widow of Zarephath. The meal did not waste. The cruse of oil did not go dry during the time of famine. She trusted God. She was obedient to God. And God sustained her during a difficult time. You go in the New Testament, you see a little boy in John chapter 6, and the disciples are weary, and Christ says, hey, we got all these people, and the disciples are saying, send them away, it's mealtime, and Christ said, feed them, and they said, we don't have enough money to feed all these people, we don't have enough food to feed all these people, and God said, what do you have? And they said, well, we got a little boy here with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And that little boy was willing to take his lunch and give that to the Lord Jesus Christ. And God blessed it and break it. And God fed 5,000 with 12 baskets left over. That's pretty powerful. Who is he, little boy? What was his name? Well, we don't even know his name. But he was faithful. Here we have Shamgar. God had given him one verse. What do we know about him from this verse? Well, he had an ox goad, so he's a farmer. And if you're a farmer, you're a worker. Or if you're not a worker, you are out of business. You got to get out there. You got to sow the crops. And that was in a day and age where they didn't have go green, as in John Deere tractors, to pull the implements. They got behind an ox, and the ox pulled a one-bottom plow, and they went through the field. And they turned the soil, and then they had to walk through by hand and sow the seed, and then they had to fight off predators. He was a worker, and he carried an ox goad. I just tell you, an ox goad is not a weapon of war. It is not. It is an agricultural tool to coax the ox. An ox is a huge creature, and he's got a neck that is like just about that thick. And every once in a while, the ox just decides he's not going to move. So the farmer would get a piece of wood, a light wood, I'll say something like on the order of bamboo, and because that's light, and he would attach to the end a little sharp piece of metal, and on that rod, which was about 12 feet long, because you've got the farmers back here in the back, and then you got the plow ahead of that, which is probably a good eight feet. And then you've got the harness and the hookup and the yoke that is all those things that are connected to the ox. And so that ox is probably a good 10 feet in front of you. And you want to still be holding on to the plow when he takes off. So you put a little piece of metal on the end of that 10-foot pole, and you would reach up and you would just tap his backside with that little piece of metal, and that ox would say, oh, you want me to move? And that little poke would just be enough. So we're living in a time and day and age where the children of Israel, we talked about last week, did evil in the sight of the Lord, and God put them over oppressors. And one of those oppressors was Jabin, king of Canaan. He's a Canaanite. And when he took over, he went throughout Israel and he took all the weapons. Took all the swords, all the spears, all the weapons of war. And they were just gone. You've got to be cautious of a government that is going to take your weapons away. And we live in that day and age today. A lot of people in government talk about, let's take all the weapons away. The government is in control, not only just the government, but all the thieves and thugs, which is what is happening in this day and age. So Shamgar, the farmer, would get out there and he'd get behind his plow and he'd work the field and then he'd sow the seed. field, and then he had to protect it from predators. And we're not talking about deer walking through, although I'm sure that varmints coming to eat his crops was a problem, and he had to protect it from them. But he also had to protect it from the thugs of the world. The thugs that didn't want to plow or sow seed, but they did want to eat, and so they would go through and they would steal the farmer's crops. But Shamgar and the other Israelites didn't have any means to protect their crops because all their weapons had been taken from them. Now, the prevailing government of the time, we'll talk about this more next week, and next week is one of my favorite Old Testament passages when it comes to God's faithfulness and his people. And those people in power think they're in power until God lets them know that he's in power. Next week, we're going to talk about Sisera. Sisera was a great general under Jabin of Canaan that he was brutal. And so he had, the Bible tells us, I'm looking for my number here, 900 chariots of iron. Now, they refused Israel the right to bear arms, but I tell you what, the chariots of iron were the tanks of the day, and they had these chariots, and so you're a farmer out there, and all your tools have been taken away, and the chariots show up and say, we want your food, and they would just take it. They would take food, they'd take the crops, they'd take everything, the government and the people and the non-workers, they just took it all. And the farmers didn't have any means to provide for their family or to provide for income or provide food for the other Israelites. It was a terrible, terrible time. Israel at this time was extremely afraid. They were afraid to travel to go to market. They were afraid to stay home because of the hungry people, the thieves, the thugs, were coming to them. It was a terrible time. You just were not safe anywhere. But out there in the field, we see a farmer, and his name is Shamgar. And Shamgar said, "All my weapons have been taken away, and I got to get my ox to move, so I need to make a tool. So last night, I went out to the shed. I thought, you know, I'm sitting in the easy chair. I don't know, it's about 8 o'clock last night, 8:30. And I said, you know what? I'm going to make myself an ox goad. So that's what a farmer does. And when he needs a tool, he goes out to his shed, and he says, so I don't have one. I can't buy one. It would be maybe considered a weapon. And they took everything that could be considered a weapon, and they took it away. So he went out to his shed, and he found an old piece of wood, and he said, well, I got to find attach something to the end. So he attached a little piece of metal to the end, and he got his stone out, and he sharpened it up. And I did all those things last night. Went out to my shed, and I got an old shovel handle. Now, and this bitch would say, how long have you had that shovel handle? And I'd say, I've had this shovel handle, I don't know, probably 20 years. And it's the shovel broke off. And it was on a snow shovel. I could tell by the little piece of metal that was on the end. I took that metal off. Well, I'm on a little piece of wood. And this bitch would say, why do you keep that thing around? That's me, because at some point, 20 years from now, I'm going to need a piece of wood on a Saturday night at about 8:30 when I'm trying to get an illustration for a Sunday morning message, and there it is. So I'm in the shed, and I'm looking around, and I'm looking at all the stuff that is out there, and I saw this piece of wood, and I said, well, it's not 10 feet, but I'm going to make an ox goad. And so I did. And so I got a little piece of metal, and I stuck the little piece of metal in the end of it, and I sharpened it up real good.
guarantee you that would get me going. That would get my attention. So this is what Shamgar did. He made himself an ox goat out of what he had in the shed. And that's what I did last night. And there we have the ox goat. Because he was a farmer. And even though times were hard and people were violent, people were stealing his crops, he needed to get out there and work, provide for his family. And so he did that under extremely difficult circumstances. And we have verse 31. Say, preacher, what does that have to do with us? God uses people who use what they have. That's all he had. You would not say God chose Shamgar because he had a chariot of iron, because he didn't. You wouldn't say God chose Shamgar because he was able to go to his shed and manufacture some great spear, because it didn't. The Bible says in verse 31, Shamgar, son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men. God uses. God uses people who are busy doing what they're supposed to be doing, working for Him, providing for family. All the things the Bible tells us that a man is supposed to do for his family, that's what he was doing. Say, preacher, how long should I do that? I'm 65 years of age, approaching, I should be retired, right? Well, here's a guy. I like this guy. His name is Irvin Kahn, K-A-H-N. He spent his career teaching at Columbia Business School. And he loved his work. He was sought after by, he was a good friend of Warren Buffett when it came to business. Warren Buffett would reach out to him and ask his opinion. He was a guest lecturer. And he would lecture on the importance of value investing. His work is still sought after. Again, Warren Buffett, he's no slouch when it comes to managing money. And he would look after Irvin and ask his opinion on things, on what he should do. Irvin's last day of work when he retired was in 2015. So he retired about 10 years ago. He was 109 years old. Where is May? Anybody in here 109? Anybody even close? I know we're not even close to 109. I think I'm looking at Frank. Frank, how old are you? 80? You got like 20. 35 years to go before you can retire. But I'll tell you what, Frank is a worker. Now you go out there tomorrow, you'll find Frank working. He'll be working on engines and this and that. And a lot of younger people with more energy have cashed it in, and they're just slouching along. That's not the kind of guy God uses. God uses a Shamgar, who under extraordinary circumstances is just getting the job done. Shamgar was a worker. Shamgar was a warrior. He had a warrior's heart. He was just going to be obedient to God. Again, Sisera, the general of the Canaanite people, disarmed the children of Israel, which left them, he's a Canaanite, which left them vulnerable to the Philistines, again, who were coming in and taking taking the crops and stealing and pilfering and taking the animals. And if Shamgar would have let them, they would have taken the ox that he needed to plow, and then they would not have had even food to steal. The Philistines, under the protection, if you will, of the Canaanites would come through and capture slaves and steal crops and destroy villages. They were... what could you do? There were some that had the urge to run, and they would run. Which is why, during this time, people couldn't stay at home and people couldn't run because there was no place safe to go. But some would run. Shamgar did not. Shamgar stood his ground. Now, can you imagine, again, you've got your bad guy, you're a Philistine, and you've got swords and spears and chariots, and you come into the field and you say to the farmer that's out there, come on. Come on, get moving, fella. And the ox gets going, and you say to the farmer, we're taking your crops today. And he goes, not today, you're not. You would laugh. And they did. They laughed, because they did not see Shamgar as a threat. They did not see that tool as something that God could use to his honor and glory to deliver his people. I just remind you, that when God came to Moses, God said, hey, Moses, I'm going to use you to deliver the children of Israel from the hand of Pharaoh. Children of Israel were disarmed. They were slaves. They were made to work. Get back behind the microphone here. They were made to work as slaves without recourse, without representation. And God said to Moses, I am going to use you to lead them from the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. Moses said, I'm not a warrior. I don't have armor. I don't have weapons. I can't. Moses, I can't even talk. And God said to him, what is that in thine hand? And Moses, it was a staff, a walking stick. And Moses said, a rod. And God said, cast it on the ground. And Moses cast it on the ground. And God turned it into a serpent. Now that would get your attention. That would get your attention. It would get my attention. A story out of Australia. A lady woke up. It was just yesterday, so I'm thinking it was recent. She woke up in the middle of the night, and she had great pressure on her chest, and she thought her big dog had climbed up on the bed and was sitting on her chest. And it was cold, and maybe the dog was cold. And so she got her hand out from under the covers, and she reached up to push the dog off of her, and she realized the dog was slimy. It wasn't a dog. It was an 8.5-foot snake that had crawled through the window and had curled up. Is this bad? I got people holding their eyes. This is bad, right? And so this snake had curled up on top of her to get warm. And she didn't panic. I would have. I've been screaming, get on me! But she didn't. She reached over and she nudged her husband and she said, go turn on the light. And so he went and turned on the light and he said, don't move. There is an 8.5-foot snake curled up laying on top of your chest. And she said, and the dogs were asleep in the room. And she said, get the dogs out of here, because if the dogs see a snake, they're going to go nuts and this room is going to be a mess. And so he did. He got the dogs out of the room and shut the door. He said, now what are we going to do? She said, I'm getting out of here. And so she slithered out. You know how you kind of do? You slithered out through the side of the covers and then the snake on the bed. And then she, not him, she grabbed the snake by the head and showed him where the window was and then encouraged him to get out. I just say, if God told me to throw a stick on the ground and turn into a snake, it would have my attention. And then God said to Moses, grab it by the tail and pick it up. And it's like, I don't do the snake thing, God. I just don't do that. But Moses did. He reached down, picked it up by the tail, and God turned it back into a stick. I'm just telling you, God can use anything in your hand as insignificant as you may think it would be, in order to serve Him, in order to do something great for Him. We would call that a miracle. God would call that normal. Normal Christianity is what God would refer to that. Just normal operations. So Shamgar, with that little piece of wood, with a sharp little thing in the end of it, God used him and that thing to kill 600 Philistine invaders. Again, others just ran for their life. But Shamgar said, I'm not running. This is where God has put me. I'm going to stand my ground. I'm just going to do it. And this is where God has put me. This is where I'm going to be. This is where I'm going to fight. And that has been my approach to ministry all these years. Preachers, they just go from church to church, and that's not unusual for a preacher to do that. And have things always been easy here? They have not always been easy. But I just believe this is where God called me. This is where God would have me to be, and I'm just going to stand my ground. We have disappointments. We've had some disappointments this year as a church family. We're just going to stand our ground because this is where God has called us. Not going to run from conflict. I'm not going to run from difficult people. I'm not going to fear a door that gets closed. We're just going to fight for your home, for your family, for your church, for the cause of Christ, because He is worthy. He is absolutely worthy. Alvin York. From Pall Mall, Tennessee, just a humble farmer. That's all it was, a humble farmer. Got called up to active duty, and he started out as a conscientious objector and became one of the most decorated soldiers of World War I. He was in the Neuse-Argonne Offensive and received the Medal of Honor. He single-handedly, Hollywood has made movies about his life, he single-handedly captured 132 German soldiers, neutralized machine gun nests, and turned the tide of the battle and became famous. But he came back here to the United States after the war and went back to being a humble farmer, because that's what he was, with a tool in his hand that just said, I want to be used, and he was used of God. He was a warrior. He was a winner. Shamgar was a winner. And a lot of speculations about who Shamgar was. But in this text, in this one verse that God has given to us, there's no introduction. This is who he is. This is how long he served, and he delivered Israel 40 years. That's just not there. There's no conclusion. There's no length of reign. There are a lot of secular accounts that talk about Shamgar, and there'll be texts and manuscripts. But I want you to consider what the Bible has to say about him. Say, preacher, it was one verse. Well, let's start there. Shamgar, the son of Anath. You say, well, that was his dad's name, right? He was the son of Anath. What's interesting, you look at the history of Anath. Anath was the name of the Canaanite god. So you would look at Shamgar and say, I'm guessing from his name, because God put that in there, that he's a Canaanite. At least he has Canaanite ancestry, because he's of the son of Anath. And that is, again, Anath was closely associated with Baal worship. Anath was a beautiful young maiden. She was also known as the virgin, known for her youthful vigor and ferocity in battle, closely associated with the worship of Baal, a staunch ally of many pagan and mythological creatures. And that's who God used. You say, well, preacher, I don't have a pretty pedigree. I'm not the Baptist, son of a Baptist, the son of a Baptist. My great-grandparents weren't Christians. I come from a pagan background. I would say so did Shamgar. Came from a pagan background. Of pagan worship, traced to the Canaanites. But at some point in his life, he had a radical change and gave his life to Christ. And God used him, one man, a farmer, humble farmer, with a simple tool to give great victory. I love what the Lord said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And I love the next phrase. And such were some of you. That's what we used to be. But we're not that anymore. Such were some of you. Ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the power, by the Spirit of our God. So we have in this chapter, in this verse, another reminder that God used a man with a questionable past, without great training, with no resources to speak of, to deliver Israel. And God still does that today. If you are willing to fight for things that really matter, at times it may seem like there are few victories. It may seem like the Philistines have taken over. But if you are willing just to stay at it, God will give you a great victory. There's a great victory in the news this week. Adrian Stubbs, who's a guard for the Phoenix Maryvale High School, so he's a teenager. In three quarters of play, he scored 100 points. They just kept getting, I mean, the guy couldn't miss. He was 16 for 23 at the free throw line, so he did miss a few because they just kept following him. They'd get the ball, they'd follow him. 16 for 23 at the free throw line. He hit 18 three-point shots. 100 points after three quarters. They won, I'm looking, 100 and... I don't see the score. I didn't put the score down. I want to say it was like 125, 117, 119 to 25. Yeah, it was not even close. So after three quarters, they took him out, and the rest of the team couldn't compete. What was he? He was just a competitor. Just kept getting the job done. Just be a competitor. Shamgar fought where he was, with what he had, when he was there, and no regrets. He stood his ground and left the results up to the Lord. And that's what we need to do today. Are you willing to do that? Stop waiting. It's way too many preachers that wait for God to put them someplace special, someplace big before they're going to do something for God. Why don't you just take an old scrap piece of wood, put a piece of metal in the end, and say, God, this is what I have. If you can use that, I'll serve you right here, right where you are. And God will, because that's what God does. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray that you'd help us to be people that take what we have, don't use not having the ability to sing or preach or teach or talk or witness as an excuse as to why we do nothing. But you pray that you'd help us to be faithful, take what we have, use it to your honor and glory. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you say, preacher, that's my prayer. God would take me with what I have and use me right here and right now to do something extraordinary for him. Preacher, would you pray for me? Because that's my heart's desire. Okay. And Father, that is our heart's desire, that you would use us right here, right now, with the tools that we have to do something extraordinary for you. Because we love you. Help us to do that. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you say, preacher, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you pray for me? Slip your hand up, hold it up, let me pray for you. Let's stand to our feet. The piano is playing, the altar is open. God has spoken, will you come?